Good morning and welcome to Shattering This, a program devoted to the fastest growing segment of our society. To those of you like me who know that there's something troubling, even destructive, about religion and politics, media reporting, military invasions, and economic schemes. We have finally come to realize that these institutions are a major part of the problem, and therefore they are not the solution. We are not going to solve the problems that ail our country or our world by replacing one set of politicians with another, by going to a different church, by directing our military differently. Those institutions are part of the problem. They are not part of the solution. And it's time we recognize that as being the case. So instead of merely presenting the news, our mission on this program is to understand what is causing the great tragedies that are besieging our planet, while predicting how these events will influence our world if more of us don't stand up to stop them. And that is why in the second hour, we're going to engage God on His terms and through evidence and reason, since His guidance regarding His covenant provides hope. His is the only reliable response to an exceedingly troubled world. Our phone number, if you'd like to participate in this discussion at any time over the next 2 hours, toll free, 877-300-7645. It was mentioned in the newscast at the beginning of this program that the trial of Major Nidal Hassan is continuing, and today the defense is supposed to make its case. Of course, Major Nadan is handling his own defense, and he began this trial by saying that not only did he do it, but that he was proud of it, and that he did it in the name of Allah and Islam. There is some tragedy that is coming out of this trial. It is indicative of what's happened across America. It's why we ought not be patriotic. It's why we ought not join the military. We ought to encourage our sons and daughters to leave the military. We ought to not place our confidence in the judicial system. The trial and all of the proceedings regarding Mr. Nadan Hassan have been gamed, jury-rigged. Rather than calling it an act of terrorism, and therefore Islamic terrorism, no, the U.S. government has labeled this incident an act of workplace violence. It's as if Hassan went postal. They aren't willing to acknowledge that he was acting as an enemy or aiding the enemy, as they did with Bradley Manning, who didn't fire a shot and killed no one. So in Bradley Manning's case, they said he was aiding the enemy, convicted him of it, and that he was acting in a treasonous manner, and yet Hassan, wearing the U.S. uniform, murdering so many Americans while shouting Allahu Akbar, was not tried on that basis. No, this is simply a workplace violence issue, according to the U.S. government. Most recently, in fact, yesterday, the judge over this case decided that any evidence that could ascribe motive to Hassan be excluded from the trial. Now, can you imagine a murder case in which evidence related to motive is excluded? Now, the judge's lame excuse was that the evidence regarding motive is now dated. It's old. Well, it's only old because the U.S. government decided to push off this case, denying the victims their rights for 4 years. It is pathetic what is happening in the trial regarding the murders perpetrated in the name of Islam at Fort Hood. The big item in the news today is a real mystery. It is a head scratcher. It is a tragedy, but it is extraordinarily odd. It is one of those things that could be the fulcrum upon which major events change in the world. Chemical weapons attacks have killed hundreds. The reports are anywhere from 200, some say 500, that we've heard as many as 1,000 people on the outskirts of Damascus. This is from the Syrian opposition. Rockets with toxic agents were launched at the suburbs of the Goeta region early on Wednesday as part of a major bombardment of rebel forces, they say. Now, we know that they cannot be trusted because they are the Mujahideen. As good Muslims, they are ordered by their God to lie. But the fact is, there is video evidence that hundreds upon hundreds, little children, infants, women, civilians, all suffocating as a result of a poison gas. Now, what is interesting here is Goeta. This region is a region that encircles much of Damascus. The targets, we are told, where these videos were taken, some are as close as 3 miles from Assad's presidential palace. You know, the notion that this man would deploy rocket-borne chemical agents when he has all but won this war. When Hezbollah engaged about 2.5 months ago, it turned the tide. The rebels have not won a victory in a very long time. The war is essentially over. Assad prevailed. The only thing that could turn the tide against him is a massive deployment of chemical weapons that can be traced directly to him that would cause Europe and the United States to enter the war on behalf of the rebels. Of course, that would cause China and Russia to defend Assad and lead to a catastrophic world war. And to think that he would not only do that at a time where all of the momentum has been on his side for months, and that he would use chemical weapons, not in the far outskirts of his country, not next to the Israeli border, not next to the Jordanian border, not next to the Turkish border, but in a suburb of Damascus, 3 miles from his home, is way beyond what we could possibly imagine could occur. Well, the opposition alliance says 1,000 people were killed in the attacks. The activist networks have reported the death tolls that are all across the board. So it is not clear how many people died in the bombardment of the sites and how many deaths were due to any toxic substance. And the reason we do not know is that to be an embedded journalist in the midst of a war between Sunni and Shia Muslims is a death sentence. And so most journalists are unwilling to do it. And in Islam, the first casualty is always a free press. The opposition has accused the government of doing this. The government has said that it is all fabricated and that it is a ruse of the opposition. Now, we know that Muslim jihadists fake disasters. When Israel was decried by the world for bombing an apartment complex and killing hundreds of innocent civilians in Lebanon, we learned that the Lebanese Hezbollah party actually bombed the building and that the victims were those who had been taken out of the morgue and staged to appear as victims. And so it's not beyond them to do this, but we are dealing with something here. If, in fact, this was rocket-borne sarin gas that changes everything in the world's catalyst at the moment, in terms of whether we head to world war or not. UK Foreign Secretary William Hague and French President Francois Hollande called for UN inspectors to be allowed access to the area and said Britain and France would raise the issue with the United Nations. It's easy for them to say, send in inspectors. Why don't they go? If confirmed, the attacks would mark a shocking escalation in the use of chemical weapons, said Mr. Hague, the Foreign Secretary of Great Britain. The Arab League echoed the call for inspectors to go to the site. The attack took place as part of a government bombardment of the region surrounding Damascus, where government forces have been trying to drive out rebel forces. Casualties were reported in the areas of Urban, Douma, and Madame, along with others. I have examined the locations of the targets and looked at them from the perspective of not only the center of Damascus, which they are in this case a matter of a mile or two, but they are only 3 to 5 miles, all of them, from the presidential palace. The videos show victims, including many children, having convulsions. Others are apparently immobile, having difficulty breathing. The BBC has not been able to authenticate the footage fully, but based upon additional checks made, it is believed to be genuine. And, of course, it is interesting that the most caustic film perpetrated against Israel was the death of a single young boy when it was claimed by a French television station and its commentator that the Israelis deliberately targeted a young mythical Palestinian boy. The boy wasn't mythical, his designation was, and that they shot him execution style, when in fact there is 100% of the evidence now demonstrates that the boy was shot by his fellow Muslims. And so it is not beyond them to do this, but still, this would be a very difficult film to fake because of the children convulsing and because of how widespread the calamity appears to have been. Many of the casualties are women and children. They arrived with their pupils dilated, cold limbs, foam coming from their mouths. The latest incident throws up more questions than answers, the BBC Middle East Jeremy Bowen reports. Yes, this is so obviously incongruous with the events that have taken place in that hellish conflict. We have to scratch our heads and say, how is this even possible? Many will ask why the government would want to use such weapons at a time when inspectors are in the country and the military has been doing so well in every area of the country, including the area around Damascus. Some will suspect that the footage has been fabricated, but the videos that have emerged would be difficult to fake. So two things stand out immediately in this reported Syrian attack. Firstly, the timing is extraordinarily odd, bordering on suspicious. Why would the Assad government do such a suicidal thing? And second, the scale of the casualties is far worse than anything that we have witnessed thus far. I have one last comment on the previous story, which is the deployment of sarin gas, chemical, biological weapons in the tragic war in Syria, where brother is killing brother in accordance with Yahweh's prediction that the descendants of Ishmael would be wild asses of men who would live in hostility with the whole world, but that the throttling mechanism that would keep them from destroying much of the world, at least slow their progress down in this regard, he said, would be that their brother's hand would be raised against them and their hand would be raised against their brother. That is what we're witnessing today. The one comment that I wanted to make is one that was shared during the commercial break by Scott, our producer. And he said, you know, it's just amazing how much of man's energy has been devoted to making things that kill and destroy. If you look throughout time, the leading scientists, the leading inventors throughout human history have been those who have been deployed to make things that enable armies to conquer, to make devices that get people to obey, to comply. You know, it's even in recent times, a huge percentage of scientists are deployed in making weapons. Today in America, not only is a disproportionate of our number of our engineers deployed in designing and creating weapons of war, but our major manufacturing facilities do the same. It is just a stunning indictment on our nature that we squander so much of our energy, so much of our intelligence, designing things that kill. Speaking of our motivations and our intelligence, the National Intelligence Agency surveillance network wasn't nearly as limited as the president and Congressmen and senators had said. According to a report that was released by the Wall Street Journal today, who has now joined the fray of newspapers that are willing to tell stories based upon what they have learned. This report that was published by the Wall Street Journal did not come from Snowden. It came from individuals who actually work for the NSA. The spy agency, the NSA, the National Security Agency, has the capacity to spy on 75% of all U.S. internet traffic. Remember they said, oh, the PRISM, it's targeted. It's targeted at the bad guys that want to kill us. And remember, they came up with one example of an individual that they had stopped from committing a terrorist act, and that was David Headley. And we learned that David Headley was actually an agent for the U.S. government and that he planned one of the most deadly terrorist attacks in recent memory while an agent for the U.S. government. In other words, that was just not only a bold-faced lie, the opposite was true. He was responsible for the Mumbai terrorist attacks. But now the Wall Street Journal is saying that no, nothing even remote to targeting is taking place. 75% of all U.S. internet traffic. Now, that's not a target. That's the opposite of a target. Citing current and former NSA officials for the 75% figure, the paper reported that the agency can observe more of Americans' online communications than anyone in the administration or Congress or those agencies have publicly disclosed. They lied to us. You know, they want to arrest Snowden, and they want to charge him with treason. And yet, they are in violation of their oath of office to defend the U.S. Constitution, undermining it deliberately, and they're deliberately lying to the American people. When was that not an act that should be punishable? The details are the latest to emerge about the NSA's operations and capabilities as authorities in the U.S. and other countries try to stop the release of information about the elaborate surveillance network. Members of Congress on the intelligence committees, as well as past intelligence officials, recently have spoken up in defense of the agency, which tells you that we're back into the days when the FBI had files on all senators and congressmen and the illicit nature of their lives, and that they garnered support by blackmail. We're back into that realm. As well as past intelligence officials recently having spoken up in defense of the agency, particularly after reports showing the agency had broken privacy rules and overstepped its authority thousands upon thousands of times. The NSA programs described by the Journal differ from the programs described by former NSA contractor Edward Snowden in a series of leaks earlier this summer. Snowden described a program to acquire American phone records, as well as another program known as PRISM, that made requests from internet companies and stored for them to store the data. By contrast, the internet monitoring systems have the capability to track any online activity. Any online activity, and they do so in real time. We're going to consider four or five statements from that article and consider the implications of our government once again trying to control our lives. Welcome back to Shattering Myths. It is really astonishing to know that the NSA is monitoring 75% of the internet traffic in real time. And that's particularly astonishing when you realize that from a bandwidth point of view, a disproportionate amount of internet traffic, I've heard as high as 20 to 25% is Netflix. The downloading of movies, over the internet. And if you were to combine, online gaming, gambling, pornography, and watching movies either via that Hulu site or downloading movies via Netflix, you'd have far more than 25% of internet usage, which means they're monitoring everything else. And it is just astonishing how far they have gone and how much they have lied about what they're doing. Hey, here's the first comment, and then we're going to go to Robin, who has a comment. The National Security Agency, which possesses only limited legal authority to spy on U.S. citizens, what they didn't write there, is that you can only spy on an American citizen if you have probable cause. You have to have a search warrant. You have to be able to go to a judge and say, there is reason to suspect, and here is the proof that there is reason to suspect that this person is engaged in a crime or about to perpetrate a crime. And that, of course, is never happening. None of the NSA surveillance ever has proof or court authority apart from the kangaroo court that they call the National Federal Surveillance Court. That it has built a surveillance network that covers more Americans' internet communications than officials have publicly disclosed, current and former officials say. With that being known, we're going to go to Robin, who is calling in from Texas. Hello, Robin.
Well, good morning. I would like to broaden the scope of this discussion on our privacy. It's not a matter of just privacy. It's a matter of a war on the people and war on the people globally. With the militarization of our police as a paramilitary, because they can't bring our armed forces in to go to war against us, they are weaponizing and militarizing our police forces. And they're using this telecommunications thing to create a fence around the Gulf states that will be fully implemented by 2015. And be sort of it's a matter of a dog fence around the United States. And anybody with Wi-Fi is being pulsated to control emotions. And that's why you're seeing more police behaving in a angry way, in a brutal way, so to speak, and other people, too. So they're going to regulate the energy and tell people they've got to have these smart appliances and these smart meters, and there will be green loans to make this transition, and then they'll control everything. And you can find out more about these this war on the people and the depopulization of the planet at StopTheCrime.net, where the Bilderberger and the White House documents are presented at StopTheCrime.net.
Okay. Well, thank you, Robin. Much of what Robin says is true. We have militarized our police. If you looked at what occurred in Boston after two boys detonated pressure cooker bombs, we turned it into Boston into a war zone. And the line, the distinction between our military and our police forces was blurred so that they looked one and the same. There was no distinction. We have gone to war against ordinary citizens, following their constitutional right to have and to keep and bear arms and to have the kind of weapons that are used against our citizens in great numbers now. Their goal was to create a kind of state where it becomes impossible for the citizenry to rebel against the intolerant nature of its government. And so much of what Robin said is true. And in the most important part of the Bradley Manning release via WikiLeaks and the Snowden release, as well as these confirmations now from the Wall Street Journal, not via Snowden, but via employees in the NSA, is that for our government to be spying on Americans, it means that our government views Americans as its enemy. That the government is trying to protect itself from people doing what we're doing, standing up and speaking against them. That is a stark realization that hopefully will shake more Americans so that they wake up and they realize that your government is not part of the problem, or not part of the solution. That it does not matter if you were to fill the Congress and Senate and the White House with Republicans or Democrats. The problem is identical either way. It does not matter. This problem cannot be resolved politically. The military is not the answer. They are the problem. And when enough Americans recognize that we need to back away from the system, we need to not only stop supporting it, stop waving the flag, stop singing the national anthem, stop being patriotic, stop voting, stop supporting our military, and then say, we need to refrain from doing all of these things because they're being used in ways that are counterproductive. We're being manipulated. We're being played for fools. And instead, to have more people being willing to investigate the evidence and to stand up and be accounted and to say, you know, we're not going to take this anymore. I'm not going to play the game of the lesser of two evils and vote for the Democratic candidate or the Republican candidate. A plague on both of their houses. Now, that's not to say that there is no hope. There is hope. The hope is in the covenant. It's in the Torah. It's in Yahweh. And that's why in the second half of this program, we will devote our entire time to what he is offering us. Because individually, with families, there is hope. And should enough individuals and families embrace what Yahweh is offering, then there will be hope for our society. But the only hope for our country is to have the majority of its citizens realize that the government is the problem, not the solution. That their religion is the problem, not the solution. That their military is the problem, not the solution. That their government indulgences, the programs like Medicare and Social Security and food stamps and Medicaid, are the problem, not the solution. That taxation is the problem, not the solution. That the Federal Reserve is the problem, not the solution. And when we recognize that, then we're in a position to find the only real source of the solution, which is Yahweh himself, a God that less than 1 in 1,000 people know, perhaps as few as 1 in 1,000,000 know. Continuing a little bit more deeper into this story, which is so eye-opening for us, it says the system has the capacity, as we know, to reach roughly 75% of all U.S. Internet traffic. They claim that they're in a hunt for foreign intelligence, but you don't target 75% of all U.S. Internet traffic in a hunt for foreign intelligence. And who are they supposing out there is our enemy? We're spying on every country in South America and its citizens. Do we think that the South Americans are going to invade us? We're spying on the citizens of the UK, of Germany, of France. Do we think that they're going to invade us? Of course, we're not spying on the Hamas because they only commit 99% of terrorist acts and we wouldn't want to profile them now, would we? The government has made it clear. Its own citizens are the enemy. And you would be totally safe, at least for a moment, if you're not willing to put your head above the crowd. If you're willing to go along and sing the national anthem and salute the flag and support your troops and vote in the elections and go along like a lemming, your emails aren't going to be read. Your phone will not be tapped. The government will care less about you because they already own you. It is only those of us willing to put our head above the crowd to say, no, don't march in that direction. We're going to point a different way. It's those of us who says that the emperor has no clothes. Those are the ones that they are targeting. Now, if there are very few of us, then we're easy prey. They've gamed the judicial system. They will turn it against us. They will shut us down. But if we are many, they will be unable to do that, which is why the hope for America is programs such as these that will tell you the truth, that there's a plague on both sides of the aisle in every country on earth, and that the government is not part of the solution, nor are the country's militaries, nor are the world's religions. The solution is Yahweh's covenant. And until you come to know him and embrace it, you are part of the problem. This article continues to say basically they're just revealing more details about the thing that whistleblower Mark Klein revealed years ago, that the NSA deals with the major telecoms and they snoop into huge amounts of internet traffic. Yes, prior to Snowden, there were four whistleblowers inside of the NSA, but our newspapers didn't take them seriously, so their story was not reported. Klein was one of those. The programs are codenamed, catch this, Blarney. For BS, that's what they're really good at. Blarney. Fairview, as in, it's fair for them to view everything that you write and say. Oakstar, Lithium, and Storm Brew, among others, to filter and gather information at major telecommunications companies. Blarney, for instance, was established with AT&T, former officials say. AT&T declined to comment. Here's what's really interesting about this. We learned it from the email provider that recently shut down his business. He said not only was he required to shut down his business or capitulate in the government's breach of the Fourth Amendment of the U.S. Constitution. But he says, I can't even tell you what they have ordered me to do because they put a gag order on me and they silenced even my freedom of speech. So I can't even tell you how bad this situation is, how bad America has become, where they can impose on AT&T and Verizon universal wiretaps, and the companies themselves can't even complain. Welcome back to Shattering Myths. I'm just flabbergasted by the news now. They're reporting that as many as 1,300 were killed in the gas attacks near Damascus. As the listeners to this program know, I'm not a conspiracy buff. I don't advance conspiracy theories. And it's not because I don't recognize that there's merit in the conspiracy theories. I do. I probably spent more time studying the roots of the conspiracy theories in terms of Adam Weishaupt, his writings, of which I have studied Abe Burl's, The History and Memoirs of Jacobinism, which is the most comprehensive book ever written, and it was written contemporaneous to Adam Weishaupt's creation of the Order of the Enlightened and his use of the Freemasonry movement to spread his ideals. The Jacobins were agents of Weishaupt. They are the ones who concocted the French Revolution for the express purpose of advancing their agenda. I have read all of Anthony Sutton's books. I have read Roberson's books. None dare call it conspiracy. I've read Emerson's books on the Unseen Hand. I have read The Creature from Jekyll Island. Read thousands, maybe tens of thousands of pages of evidence explaining the nature and basis of the conspiratory theories. I think I understand the motivations of the perpetrators quite well. I understand how they have infiltrated religious seminaries, which was part of their original agenda, and particularly education from top to bottom, beginning at universities and working down to grammar school. I understand how political correctness is a device that those who are conspirators have marshaled. But still, I prefer to stick to straight news and to talk about the most obvious motivations for the things that have occurred. For example, 9/11 was not perpetrated by the U.S. government. The U.S. government was complicit in the sense that they knew that it was going to happen and how it was going to happen, and then lied about being surprised. But it was perpetrated by fundamentalist Muslims. That being the case, this chemical weapons attack in Damascus makes no sense, no sense whatsoever, from the perspective that it is being presented. There is absolutely no way that Assad would deploy chemical and biological weapons within a mile of the city limits of Damascus, within 3 to 5 miles of his home. There's no way that he would do it in this blatant a fashion when he has won this war. every battle for the last 2 months has gone his way. The rebels are essentially done. And so to have used conventional weapons over the past 2 years and to have finally prevailed against the rebels, to threaten direct involvement by the United States as a result of deliberately using rockets to deliver sarin gas would be absolutely suicidal. The man is grotesquely immoral, but he is anything from suicidal. And so you have to wonder, who did this? We do know that Obama is in desperate need of a distraction. He got caught spying on the Associated Press, all to protect his image against the Clintons. He got caught trying to steal money via the IRS from conservative political groups. He got caught lying about Benghazi, trying to pin the attack on right-wing Christian extremists as opposed to fundamentalist Muslims. Every place he turns, it is a disaster for him. He needs a distraction in the worst way. He wants to be a wartime president. I'm not telling you that we did it, and I'm not a conspiracy theory individual, but my goodness, folks, this stinks to high heaven. It is not beyond this man also to kill 1,000 people. He's killed almost 4,000 with his drones, all civilians, none of them judged, just based upon he can play God and decide who he wants to kill and does. So we ought to be very suspect here. This is the catalyst for World War III. This is the most dangerous situation in the world today because it is a proxy war between Shias and Sunnis, which China and Russia have joined on one side, and America and Europe are on the other. We'll return to Shattering Myths and discuss the hope after the commercial break.